was fall 1974. Lucy and I were trudging through the forest along the not-so-blue Danube under a light drizzle. We walked along Yugoslavia's side of the river. We were on a 2-mile walk to an 8,000-year-old archaeological site, the village of Lipenski Vir.
Oh, Adam, I remember that. Overcast and rainy.
Remember that peasant hut and the old woman? She was inside, but she had a rough wooden table and a chair out in front, overlooking the river. You remember the knife and the pieces of apple on the table? We figured she went out there to sit, to look at the great river and think about time and mortality.
We guessed she might be a widow, lonely.
Half an hour later, we reached a small circle of stone huts in the muddy woods. Lipenski Vir was part of a great fuss kicked up by carbon dating. Up to then, prehistory dating had been detective work based on circumstantial evidence. Event B had to fall after A. Event C happened sometime after A but before B, and so on. Chronologies didn't have many hard dates to go by. Archaeologists had once dated Lipenski Vir in 2500 BC. By now, it's retreated to a period between 8400 and 7000 years ago. In 1974, scholars were at each other's throats, trying to stem the damage that carbon dating was doing to their textbooks. I'd better explain how carbon dating works. The cosmic radiation of neutrons converts atoms of nitrogen into the heavy isotope of carbon called carbon-14. First, that isotope combines to form high-altitude carbon dioxide. By the time plants and animals take up carbon dioxide, one carbon atom in a trillion is carbon-14. But carbon-14 is radioactive. Every 5,730 years, half of it decays back into regular nitrogen. Measure the fraction of carbon-14 left in any artifact that once lived, in bone, ash, shell, or grain, and you can tell how long ago it lived. To make carbon dating work, you have to calibrate it with known dates. We know dates of artifacts from certain Egyptian royalty. The rings of old trees give accurate dates for the wood inside. You might think tree rings wouldn't take you back very far, but some California bristlecone pines have lived 5,000 years. At first, carbon dating had tough sledding. We had to make corrections. For one thing, Earth's atmosphere has changed. The amount of carbon-14 wasn't quite the same 4,000 years ago. As the work went on, old dates moved back into time. Agriculture became 2,000 years older than we'd thought. Traditional history suffered the most right here in these rainy woods along the Danube. The people of Lipenski Vir lived in villages, made art, and worshipped the gods of the river long before the pharaohs.
So we walked along the river, threading through the small farms that break into the forest here and there. The compact and efficient style of farming seemed old as the river itself. You and I didn't realize that day above the Danube that these were the very first northern European farmlands.
After the first invention of farming in the Middle East, the Greeks were next to take it up, about 500 years later. From there, the technology of farming split into two forms. One was temperate zone farming. It reached Italy 7,800 years ago, and it found its way into Spain and France 7,400 years back. That migration, it turns out, took place by sea. Our Stone Age ancestors were accomplished sailors and traders long before they learned to farm. But farming spread even more rapidly up the Greek peninsula, through Macedonia to the Danube. People had been farming the plateau where we walked that day for 8,000 years. At first, farming settled into the plains of Serbia and Hungary. Much of this movement appears to have been colonization. Farming reached Central Europe 7,400 years ago, but it didn't get to England and Scandinavia until 1,600 years after that. You can trace that migration in two technologies that followed it. One was the livestock that came out of Turkey and went with the farmers, sheep, goats, cows, and pigs. Even today, diets in that part of the world are rich in roast lamb, beef, and pork. The other marker was a so-called linear pottery culture that came out of Hungary some 7,600 years ago. Throughout the migration, people decorated their pots with scribed lines in the clay. Their farming had to differ radically from that in the dry Mediterranean countries. Mediterranean farmers broke their brittle soil with a stick plow that simply fractured it. Northern farmers had to turn furrows with a much heavier plow. Our word plow comes from an old word, plug, which has no kin in any European language. Not long ago, we discovered the preserved body of a man from one of those farming communities frozen into the Tyrolean Alps, the so-called Ice Man. As we study him, it becomes clear that he lived a civilized life. He lived in a house and had some of the first copper implements in that world. He was probably on a trading mission. So we often go back to that rainy day in 1974, to smells of apples, straw, manure, to the ancient quiet of a peaceful people once living there, to a steep, straw-roofed peasant hut, to the sense that if we'd suddenly been shifted back 8,000 years, things wouldn't have seemed so different. As we relive that day, we feel our kinship with the people who once moved their modest herds into Europe and began forming the world we know today.
On the way out, we passed the table again. The woman seemed older when we came back. Now she sat there eating her apple and gazing out at the river. What were 3,000 years, more or less, as she honored the one thing no one will ever date, the timeless dark water moving relentlessly below her.